Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of M.V. Hondius. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. Oceanwide Expeditions is a Dutch company that owns a fleet of four ice-strengthened ships which deliver expedition-style voyages to places like Antarctica, the Arctic, Greenland, and Iceland. The largest and newest of their vessels is named M.V. Hondius. She was built in Croatia, and her maiden voyage was on June 3, 2019. Hondius is a Polar Class 6 vessel, which means it can operate in polar waters in the summer and fall, in ice that is 2.3 to 3.9 feet thick. The vessel is 353 feet long, has a beam of 57 feet, and is powered by two 5,710-horsepower diesel engines. The passenger capacity is 196, and the crew capacity is 72. The voyages conducted by Hondius are focused on giving cruise passengers a variety of outdoor experiences that are not widely available on most cruises. The objective is to provide an intimate and flexible travel experience. For example, passengers may find themselves in close contact with wildlife like emperor penguins, blue whales, Antarctic fur seals, and Arctic foxes. As far as excursions, there are adventurous undertakings available like camping in Antarctica, mountaineering, kayaking, and polar diving. The views include awe-inspiring landscapes like glaciers, which few people will ever witness firsthand. Oceanwide Expeditions state that their cruises are designed for travelers seeking the adventure of a lifetime. Now moving to the timeline of the incident. On March 20, 2026, M.V. Hondius left Ushuaia, Argentina, on a 35-day expedition with 88 passengers and 59 crew members on board, 147 people in total, representing 23 nationalities. Some sources have different numbers as far as the people on board, like 149. The ship traveled to Antarctica, then returned to Argentina, and headed north on April 1 for the South Atlantic portion of the voyage. On April 6, 2026, a 70-year-old male Dutch passenger began feeling sick with a fever, headache, abdominal pain, and diarrhea. On April 11, this passenger died after developing acute respiratory distress. The crew did not know the cause of death at the time. Later, it was determined to be hantavirus. I will talk more about this virus in my analysis. By April 24, Hondius was at St. Helena. The passenger's body was removed from the ship. His 69-year-old wife, who was also Dutch, disembarked as well and flew to Johannesburg, South Africa. She had gastrointestinal symptoms at this time. This stop later became important because at least 23 passengers disembarked at St. Helena and returned to different countries, including the United States. One of those passengers was a Swiss man who initially tested negative for hantavirus, but later tested positive after returning home. This created a confusing situation where some people connected to the voyage were still on Hondius. Some had been medically evacuated, some had died, and others had already returned home before the outbreak was fully understood. On April 26, 2026, the 69-year-old Dutch woman died from hantavirus in a hospital in Johannesburg, South Africa. On April 27, a 69-year-old British passenger was medically evacuated to Ascension Island and then flown to South Africa. He had first presented with symptoms to the ship physician on April 24. In South Africa, it was determined that he had hantavirus. This passenger is in intensive care. On May 2, 2026, another passenger on board the vessel died. This passenger was a German woman. On May 3, Hondius arrived off Cape Verde, an island nation off the coast of Senegal. The vessel was not allowed to dock due to concerns about the hantavirus spreading to the population, so it anchored offshore. 3 days later, on May 6, three people who had been on board the vessel were picked up by an ambulance boat. Two of them, a 56-year-old British national and a 41-year-old Dutch citizen, were flown to the Netherlands for treatment. The other one, a 65-year-old German, was flown to Germany. At the time I am making this video, the plan is for M.V. Hondius to sail to Tenerife, which is the largest of Spain's Canary Islands off West Africa. The hope is that from this location, the passengers will eventually disembark and fly home. According to the authorities, nobody currently on board Hondius is symptomatic. Passengers are isolated in their cabins most of the time, with their meals being brought to them by the crew. They can walk alone on the decks to get some fresh air, but they are not permitted to group together in common areas. Oceanwide Expeditions reports that the atmosphere on board Hondius remains calm, and passengers are generally composed. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. Hantavirus is a group of viruses usually carried by rodents. It can cause serious illness, including hantavirus pulmonary syndrome, or HPS. Usually the infection is caused by a person inhaling the virus, which is in the feces, urine, or saliva of rodents. A common scenario would be rodent urine contaminating dust in a place like a barn, a basement, an attic, or a garage. When a person sweeps up the dust becomes airborne, and they inhale it along with the virus. Buildings or structures that are infrequently used have a greater risk of being occupied by rodents. In addition to inhalation, the virus can be transmitted by being bitten or scratched by an infected rodent, eating contaminated food, or touching something contaminated, then touching one's eyes, nose, or mouth. Human-to-human transmission is also possible, but it has only been documented in one virus strain, referred to as the Andy strain. The authorities believe this variant is the one that infected the people on board MV Hondius. Usually, HPS starts in about 2 to 3 weeks after exposure to the virus, although the range can be anywhere from 2 days to 8 weeks. The first stage, which can last for several days, is characterized by flu-like symptoms, including headache, muscle ache, fatigue, fever, and chills. Some people also develop stomach pain, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. The second stage usually begins 4 to 10 days after the beginning of the initial phase. This stage features low blood pressure and irregular heart rate, shortness of breath, and coughing. Ultimately, the infection can lead to fluid buildup in the lungs and heart failure. HPS has a high mortality rate. Between 30 and 50% of those infected will die. Scientists do not know why HPS kills some people, but not others. Historically, the victims of this infection have been hikers, campers, farmers, and the homeless. There is no specific treatment for HPS. Patients are usually hydrated and provided with breathing support. To reduce the number of cases of hantavirus, experts recommend minimizing contact with rodents. This seems like good advice, and it is not a particularly restrictive precaution for most people. Hanging out with rodents is not a popular pastime. Item number two, as far as the source of the hantavirus that affected those on board MV Hondius, it is still a bit of a mystery. However, officials in Argentina have a theory. They believe that the married Dutch couple who died were exposed to hantavirus from rodents while visiting a landfill during a birdwatching tour in mid-March 2026. They engaged in this activity prior to embarking on MV Hondius. While there is no denying the powerful tourism appeal of landfills, I think the authorities should explain why the couple was visiting one. Was this a historic landfill? Was it the Leaning Tower of Garbage or the Great Wall of Waste? Now, some people might argue the couple was feeling homesick. This is an interesting theory, but they were from the Netherlands, not from New Jersey. The landfill hantavirus exposure theory has been met with some skepticism. While it is true that hantavirus killed 28 people in Argentina in 2025, there has never been a recorded case of hantavirus in the area surrounding the landfill. Some people wondered if there were rats on board Hondius. This could explain the hantavirus being there. Reportedly, no rats have been found on the vessel. This means that an exposure that took place prior to boarding or human-to-human transmission among close contacts are more plausible theories than a ship-wide rodent problem. The officials mentioned that no one who boarded the vessel in Argentina was symptomatic, but that doesn't necessarily mean that no one was infected at that time. How exactly hantavirus made it onto the vessel remains unknown. Item number three, this case involving MV Hondius is one in a long series of horror stories about cruise ships that I have covered on my channel. All types of fatalities can occur on ships. For example, mysteriously disappearing from the ship, falling overboard and drowning, being left on an island by mistake and dying, being murdered by another passenger, and, of course, exposure to lethal viruses like hantavirus. Fortunately, all these occurrences are extremely rare. Less serious respiratory and gastrointestinal illnesses are somewhat common on cruise ships, but fatal infections are exceptionally rare. I think a good way to evaluate the risk of cruising is to consider how people are going to take vacations, no matter what. If they don't go on a cruise, they will do something else. All activity comes with some degree of risk. Whether somebody gets on a cruise ship, goes skiing, visits the beach, flies to an exotic location, nothing is completely safe. Cruising is often a cost-effective way to gain an experience that would otherwise be unattainable. I would be surprised if this hantavirus incident has any noticeable effect on the cruise industry. Now moving to my final item, number 4. What type of mental health impact could the hantavirus outbreak cause on board the vessel? What might the passengers and crew of Hondius be experiencing? There are many possible feelings at play here. For example, they might feel isolated, abandoned, sad, fearful, despondent, angry, desperate, impatient, frustrated, powerless, or bored. There is something particularly disconcerting about being trapped on a ship with a lethal virus. It is never encouraging to see the bodies of other passengers being carried off a ship. Dying is often categorized as a suboptimal cruising experience. I believe the most important tactic here as far as regulating emotions is for the crew to remain calm, organized, and purposeful. If they panic, that panic will spread throughout the entire ship faster than any virus could. Each day that goes by without someone developing symptoms gets everyone closer to getting off the ship. That is usually a sad time in one's cruising experience, but for this particular voyage, it will represent a great relief. The passengers signed up for an exotic adventure, but received a floating epidemiology experiment with room service. To be fair, there is no question that Hondius delivered a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Those are my thoughts on the case of MV Hondius. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.